The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 12th of August, 2026, and today is the day, the deadline to enter the Great Summer Escape Giveaway. You could win a trip for two, including hotel, car, luggage, and $1,000 cash. The young people say that's a band. All you need is your passport. Just get a Nassau Guardian newspaper, fill out the entry form, drop it in the entry box at the Nassau Guardian in Oaksfield, and tune into Guardian Radio and follow the Nassau Guardian on all social media platforms for your chances to win. The Guardian Media Group wants you to enjoy the great summer escape. Enter the giveaway. Today, on the clock, we have a free entry. And I realized I wasn't making a mistake. It's free. You don't have to buy the paper for this entry. Free entry, fourth caller today. We will enter your name on your behalf in the box. The deadline is today. The drawing, August 14th, that's Friday, August 14th. So, fourth caller, caller number four, but listen. We're not going to start the giveaway right away. See where my notes are. Okay. We can make this work. Plenty to talk about today. From yesterday's news, op-ed, BPL, Women in Leadership and an Uncomfortable Conversation. Well, let me tell you something. This was indeed an uncomfortable conversation, and I would like us to talk a bit about it. Also, looking for relevance is a headline I found yesterday. Acting Prime Minister Chester Cooper says the opposition is looking for relevance as it seeks answers on the removal of approximately $265 million from the National Investment Fund. I was just stunned by the Minister for Education's response. Also, in today's paper, as well as yesterday's headlines, Canto 40 Economic Affairs Jerome Fitzgerald delivered the keynote address at the 41st Canto Conference in Dominican Republic, addressing regional telecommunications and IT professionals. Fitzgerald said that true sovereignty is key in building centers. I see there's a fuller, broader story in today's papers. I would like to touch on that as well. And I can tell you why. Let me tell you why. I tell you right straight off the bat, right? Remember, I tell you all, when you're approaching candidates, when you're approaching politicians and people campaigning, right, for the general election, you should look out for this word. Archipelagic. Or archipelago, either of the two. Archipelagic or archipelago. If your candidate, if your MP cannot use the word archipelago or archipelagic in a sentence about your country, then you should not consider them a viable candidate for governance. And I want to say today, if you hear a politician use the words data center or data centers, use those words, and you've never heard them use the word archipelago before, they don't know what they're talking about. That is what interests me about this story. I don't know if I've ever heard Jerome Fitzgerald use the word archipelago. I don't even know if he knows how to use it in a sentence, right? But you got to prove some things to us before you start talking about data centers. You know, let's talk about it. A data center, you know, data centers, I bet you the most basic average run-of-the-line model of a data center consumes more electricity than we currently can generate for the entire country. And I bet you, hold on, I bet you that also includes, right, like kilowatt hours generated, produced by generators and alternate energy sources. A data center would take all of the electricity we could possibly conjure up every day. Further to that, a data center will consume, right, will consume more water than we consume, like on a daily basis. And this is not just what the citizens of the country consume. This is the whole shebang. All the tourists, all the tourism activities, all the AC, like some of y'all be ACing up Prince George Wharf so the tourists be comfortable on the sidewalk, all of that and more would be required for a data center, right? I want to get into the Fuller article in a second. Then we have the BPL Bank Lane update, court disruption, public notice from the Court Services Council, right? And a statement from the Bar Association about the Bank Lane BPL disruption. Talks delayed. Bahamas Union of Teachers in the news again, saying the negotiations with the government have been delayed once again. And talks originally scheduled to resume today, that was yesterday, August the 11th, and today, Wednesday, August the 12th. Wilson says the lead negotiator delayed the meeting on Monday and it has now been rescheduled for Thursday, August 13th. She says she will update union members following Thursday's session. Wilson also revealed that the union has engaged a mediator and intends to exercise its right to have a mediator present at the negotiating table. She says members will continue to be kept informed as negotiations move forward. Following that, or preceding that, there was another headline yesterday, teacher shortage. Education Minister Chester Cooper is optimistic the government will come close to filling the country's shortage of 300 teachers by the start of the new year, as the Ministry of Education continues efforts to recruit both Bahamian and foreign educators. He is optimistic that they will come close to filling. We will accept anything from our leaders. What do you mean you are optimistic? That's all? You have no numbers? You can't tell us how many you've recruited so far? You can't tell us what percentage of the vacancies have been filled? You can't give us a time when you expect confirmation exercises to be concluded? You can't, none of that. Nothing. Just you're optimistic that the country will come close to filling the shortage of 300 teachers. You still, sir, have not how we arrived at the point where we had a 300 teacher shortage. Right? Like, when are you going to answer that question? So that's where the failure is. The failure isn't, I guess, the inability or the unwillingness to inform the stakeholders closest to this issue about what you're doing. They had to hear it from the Minister of Foreign Affairs from Ghana on his Facebook page, right? Like, that's the failure. How is it that you could celebrate a successful term in government, but the very next day, you have to acknowledge, you didn't want to, but you have to acknowledge that you had a 300 teacher shortage. That's a failure. And you're failing the children and their parents. That's you're failing. That's worse than a D. That's a U on whatever your little fancy grading list is. It's a U. Which then takes us to that statement, looking for relevance. If anybody is looking for relevance, sir, perhaps it's you. Because what is the opposition's job? That is literally the opposition's job. And when you were the opposition, you would not have dared to open your mouth to say the same. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, Aaron. How about free entry for texters? Well, okay. Let's do one for texters right now. I got several questions. Let's do one for texters right now. I can tell you when, because I got to clear the board to do it. I'm going to read through these texts, and as soon as I clear the board, I can announce the number. The text says, what about the data he found in the garbage can? I remember that. In fact, I got the zine on that. In the break, I'm going to go look for the zine so we could go right back to those articles. Because I think he followed that up and said that the garbage can is an envelope or something like that. Anyway. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Texas. This shirt was screen printed locally, and the design is by a local artist as well. Thank you very much, Texter. Okay, here we go. I am looking for the ninth text. Ninth text, give me a second. We're looking for the ninth text. And the question is this. Now that you are older and you've come into yourself, right? I'm looking at this headline, Ministry Defends Strict Public School Hair Rules. Ministry Defends Strict Public School Hair Rules. Now that you're older, and you, in retrospect, would you have challenged, like if you could make the decision now for back then, would you have challenged your parents' societal norms and I guess the school code? I don't want to suggest that school codes are frivolous or have no weight. But in this particular instance, you may hear some derision in my voice. Like, would you go back, if you could go back, would you challenge the school code? That's the question. I'm looking for the ninth text. The ninth text. If you could go back in time to school time, here's the text, Ken Fitzgerald, write another letter to your boy, but this time ask for money to fix BEC. Yeah, that's a good idea. Since we're going back in time, I put the theme out there. Let me apologize. I put the theme out there since we going back in time. So let's get to this article in today's paper. See, this is coming off the heels of an article released in June of this year where parents at C.R. Walker, once again at C.R. Walker, are dealing with issues, perceived grooming norms, right? And the parents this summer said that some of their kids were not allowed to receive their graduation packages because they didn't meet certain grooming standards. But those same parents pointed out shared images of students who were groomed in the same way that their kids were groomed, but those kids were not penalized, right? And if you remember, 10 years ago, because we're still in 2026, 10 years ago, we had a similar issue at C.R. Walker, which produced a social advocacy movement called Support the Puff, right? Because there, a young lady who was wearing her hair, like naturally unpermed, had pulled her hair up into a puff, into a bun, pulled it back, and instead of forming a bun, she let the puff sit out naturally, and she was threatened with being penalized for that. That's 10 years ago. This story went all around the world. BuzzFeed carried it. BBC carried the story, right? BBC carried the story. Hashtag support the puff. 10 years later, we had the same issue at that school this summer. All right, the texts are coming in. The text competition is on. After the text competition, we're going to do the caller competition. Let's read from this article in today's Tribune, Ministry Defends Strict Public School Hair Rules. When St. Andrews International School posted photographs earlier this year of its head boy and deputy head boy wearing braids and twists, The images fueled a familiar debate over why one of the country's prominent private schools could allow black boys. I want you all to know, to understand the irony, right? Like, you need the historic context. There was a point in time, I think, where the black boys couldn't go to St. Andrews at all, period, right? And now they've sparked, unwittingly and unintentionally, this controversy. The controversy was brewing the whole time. They ain't sparked nothing. Here, we're going to continue to read, right? The Ministry of Education, however, has no plans to relax its standards. What? If you told me you can't relax the standards anymore, I would have felt you, but no. The Ministry of Education, however, has no plans to relax its standard. As a new school year nears, Education Director Dominique, and we're going to go to page 7, Dominique McCartney Russell defended the ministry's grooming policy yesterday, saying its rules, including low haircuts for boys and restrictions on extensions for girls, are intended to keep students focused on academics and promote a positive learning environment. Let me tell you something. In 3 seconds, I could give you 107 suggestions on how to keep students focused on academics. Let's start by providing them the best environment for academic success. That's a resource issue. That's a Ministry of Education issue. Right? The whole world knows by now. The whole right-thinking world. The whole world that's not entrenched, consumed, and obsessed with white supremacist privilege and white supremacist power. Everybody else other than that set in the world know that grooming is important for academic success. That's why you ensure that all students could bathe before they come to school, right? Like, you ensure that all homes have access to potable water, they have access to running water, so the kids could bathe before they go to school. And so you make sure that the kids could eat not just when they come to school, not just in primary school, but you ensure that they could eat when they leave school. You ensure that there's power in the home so they could access the technology that the other children could access. Right? We talk about grooming standards. It's not about how the hair is styled. If you see a student that has what you perceive to be a grooming problem, the first thing you should do is call the guidance counselor. And then you should refer to a social worker so that you could determine whether this child, C-H-I-L-D, under the age of 18, minor, has access. 6, the basics, the essentials necessary for life and healthy and substantial personal development. You go and you make sure, oh, the locks, they look dusty, you know, they look a little, you go and you find out if the child could bathe twice. That's where you start. See, yesterday we had this conversation about prayer without works is dead. The older women didn't just pray for the girls and harass the girls, you know, pressure them, nag them. Be careful, take care of yourself, be a prude. When the young ladies could not protect themselves from an unwanted pregnancy, women stepped in to support them. You go and find out why the child can't bathe regularly. That's what you do. But the height of their hair and locks? We go back to the article. Let me see. Let me check the text line, guys. Give me a second. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Let's just stick a pin in the article, and let's go to the text line. 1, 2, 3. We haven't reached 9 yet, but we're close. Text, no, I will not challenge the school code. My education is too important. Morning, I wouldn't challenge. Yes, I would, because some of the schools are more concerned about appearance than what the children are learning. Thanks, Aaron, for asking about new teacher confirmations. I mean, it's August 12th and nothing concrete. Why is it taking so long? These people really don't care, you know. No, they couldn't care. They couldn't care. They couldn't care because they must have no empathy in them. They've never considered how long it takes to prepare a classroom to receive students, in a way that will maximize their potential for success. They could not care. It's August 12th. It'll take teachers a month to get the classroom ready the way that they want to open this learning experience to students. Let's go to the text line again. Good morning. And I know I got the school rules before, and I will never challenge the rules to delay my learning. I know discipline is too important. Now, the text, hi, Aaron. In my time in school, all boys had low haircuts and girls had braids. Parents and teachers were more respectful of each other. All right. We're looking for text number 9. We're at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're looking for text number 9. We're going to put an entry in. And for the fourth caller, it is going to be the same or slightly different conversation. Is holding rules, maintaining strict rules about hair styling, the most important element, or is this the most successful strategy for producing disciplined citizens? See, we haven't reached the ninth text yet. Call us. The call line is open if you want a free entry to the for the last day for the Guardian Media Group Great Summer Escape Giveaway. Ninth texter, fourth caller. Is discipline around hair grooming the most effective strategy? And after this caller, I can tell you why I asked that question. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Good to hear you.
Yeah, Aaron, these are the type of things that the teachers and principals waste a lot of time on when they be meeting to deal with this. I wouldn't even call them common sense. I mean, they're basically, they should be common sense issue, you know, because I don't believe people should be overboard in terms of hairstyle and happy. But there's nothing wrong with a gentleman or a student wearing their hair, woman wearing their hair natural. What's the big deal? I mean, things have changed. You see, you have judges now who plot their hair. And it isn't a big deal. People in the corporate Bahamas, the corporate world, I mean, I grow my hair natural. I keep it braid. What that's supposed to mean? That makes me less unintelligent, or it impedes me from excelling? I don't think so. But we have long passed these stages, Aaron. I mean, when you look at the when you look at the Caucasians or the white Bahamians, I mean, they can go to hair however they want to deal, ponytail, et cetera. But as soon as it really upset me now that where you got to cut your hair, release your plot of a child or a student just to enter school. I mean, taking pants, going to court, all sorts of crazy things that has nothing to do with the matter at hand. We have that hair too, man. I mean, what's wrong with going to why do you have to put your pants in your shirt? Or your shirt in your pants if you go into court? What sense that makes?
Yeah.
But this where we are, Aaron, and we are not moving, we're not progressing, we're not moving the country forward. We are still stuck wasting time over nonsensical issues.
Listen.
Things that we should be able to make adjustment to as we grow the country and move it forward, but it makes no sense to me.
Listen, I don't know if we are the exact same age. I think you're a little older than me. I always saw you as a senior man to me. But I imagine the stock exchange just booming right now because iron sales got to be sky high because there's just irony everywhere. If you take a look back at pictures of anybody in their 70s, 80s in leadership, in governance, in the business sector, right? If you take a look at any of these men, pictures of them from the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, afro can't done. Wild hair can't done. In fact, natural hair, wearing your hair in natural styles, and thank you, Cleaver. I got another caller on the line. Thank you very much. These natural styles, right, are a part of their, not just a part of their identity, but a part of our collective identity as a free nation, right? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Aaron, how you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
I'm concerned about this battle that's going on between the teachers' union and the government.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be like this has been going on for like centuries, where work conditions, you know, education reforms and all these other kind of things have been at the top of the issue. But now the government seems to be making a move on the teachers' union in that they are now getting persons who are used to making, say, $245 a month, and now they could be paid like $3,000 or so dollars a month. They're going to give them privileges that they're not used to, and then they're going to have allegiance form with them. I don't think the minister or all the previous ministers are really concerned about addressing the problem with the teachers. Look what happened. There was this pay that they were crying about. Some people got it. Some people didn't. I'm wondering whether those people who got it were those who they fully know were their supporters.
Mm.
You see, it appears to be as though they're really... They have drawn a line.
Well, let me stick a pin and just say this before you go on.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may say that what you just said is over the boundary, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say that after we had the vouchers appear right before the election with candidates' names on it, these are reasonable things to put on the table.
Okay, well, I'm glad you didn't shut me down completely.
Good stuff.
So I will tailor myself a little bit better then.
No, go on. No, I just wanted to make that point.
Okay.
I just wanted to make that point.
But doesn't it appear, let me just ask you a question, that way you wouldn't have to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
Does it appear to you that the government is concerned about addressing the conditions that the teachers have so that they could be more effective in their classrooms, or by just gradually replacing those with persons who are used to those conditions and probably worse?
Look, yeah, that's my one of my broader questions, right? Is there an attempt to shrink the country's economic standing to put us in a better aid category, right?
Mm.
Like our income or GDP or whatever the economic marker is too high. I face that in the advocacy world, where you are disqualified from certain opportunities because you live in too good. You really don't need these opportunities. And I'm often wondering, is that what we're seeing? Like, you shrinking the country to make governance easier for you, but you never shrink, right? Like the benefits and the quality of life for the political class never shrinks.
You're getting, you
just
know,
the citizenry.
Well, you know, I'm going to ponder that a little bit further, because I like that you sent me on that path, because you right. The first thing they did when they got in was give them all selves a
no, they put it on the table. Now, we need to walk through, like, we need a mechanism to track daily what's happening in the assembly, because they can't move at the pace of their own policies, right? We need an independent somebody, business, NGO, to track it, because what they told us is that they're just considering it, right? And then they went on a break. But I can't tell you, I know for certain that it hasn't been passed.
But Aaron,
yeah,
you know for a fact that if you tell me that I'm going to be credited, or you're considering giving me a credit, I'm now in a position now to go and negotiate loans and so mm-hmm. forth on what you said, because it's guaranteed already, in my opinion.
You hear that, eh? I got to go. I'm looking for
right.
the fourth caller. Looking for, and we're almost there. We're almost there. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Great show.
Thank you. How you do?
I'm good. This is my first time calling, and I just wanted to, you know, to make two short points.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, teachers, I'm a teacher.
Yes,
teachers
ma'am.
In this country have never been heard. They're not hardly seen, and they're not respected. And so I don't, you know, what's going on with the government? It's been like this for years, you know, and it's only getting worse in the classroom. And then you come up and you talk about this thing about the hair. Well,
mm-hmm.
I work through a private school.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there is a difference with grooming and, of course, discipline. But I will tell you something. When you see students grow their hair out. Yes, it is a form of style because that is the style today. Being natural hair, natural hair is beautiful. My hair is natural as well. And I do hear the concerns of the young men.
Mm-hmm.
But all I tell them is every single style that you have, it comes along with some type of etiquette. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some of those young men, they'll tell you, I just roll out of bed and come out here. Then they come to school with their shirts out of their pants,
mm-hmm.
You know, the belt buckle open. Come on. You know, there is a certain amount of decency and an order. Now, it's everybody's opinion, you know. Because, see, what I may call decent and in order may not be decent and in order to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand. So you're saying you're trying to kind of say, well, let's put a law on this. All right, let them grow their hair, but it can't be so high. Well, but then, see, you can't really govern that. So that's why they're saying no altogether. Because you will have some who will come with their hair. I mean, nice big afros, neatly kept. And mm-hmm. then you'll have some who will come who twining up their hair in the class and just keeping it as they should and all kind of pixie dust in it, all kind of different things, those cottons you find inside the hair. You try to, you know, take it out for them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is a distraction in a way. Because I'll tell you now, when I'm teaching and I see certain young men,
mm-hmm.
I always tell them, look here, come in here looking neat. Whatever your neat is to you, come in here looking neat.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? Because ain't nobody want to be around those sloppy people. If you go into any business place, and that's why I keep telling you, go into any business place, and you see somebody with their hair all over the place, you see a piece of the chicken or something in their hair, or you see this, and you see them with their pants, open up. Are you going to take that establishment seriously?
I hear you. No, I hear you. So I really appreciate what you're saying. You brought some great points to the table. You know me, I ain't got no children, right? So my brain wild. There's nothing to tether it down. Let me ask you if these are reasonable compromises or suggestions, right, as a teacher. The kids come ungroomed. Let's just call it ungroomed. We're going to take that word. They're not meeting the standard. Can a school with or without a cosmetology class, right,
mm-hmm.
can they create a space where young men who are learning barbering skills or want to be barbers can come in and if you don't meet the standard, you go to the room and you get trim up, you get neatened up. We pull out the pick, we pick it out, we pat it down, we get you looking sensible.
Well, I will tell you this. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I work at a private school, but I will let you know. Each and every teacher, I can verify that, you know, I can put my hand up for them. Any student who comes, if they need any kind of assistance like that, we either give them a little pocket where they can go clean themselves up.
Mm-hmm.
We provide, all right? And even in the schools, we'll make sure that they have somewhere that they can go to get their hair groomed. I mean, you know, to what they would like.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Because I...
So it is possible. We do not turn away students. You know, anybody who comes in there who looks on... Because you don't watch, that leads to bullying as well.
Yeah, now that...
You know?
See, that's the part that really concerns me, right?
Aaron, I can guarantee you, there's not one teacher who will see a child coming in there in a state, like you've said,
mm-hmm.
that we would say, oh my goodness, you know what, let's just let them go through the day like that.
I got you.
No, we get to them and we make sure we try to help them as best as possible, especially with the girls. I remember I had a student.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she came and she, you know, she was, her hair was never really, they used to tease her. And, you know, what some of the girls did, some of the girls who I knew who knew how to do their little edges and stuff.
Yeah.
Man, look, as soon as she got to school, they would take her to the bathroom.
And fix her up.
Fix her hair up, and she's back in class.
Good stuff. I would even get an ironing board. Look here, I'm getting 3 ironing boards, 4 irons. And if you come in looking wrinkly, try to get there early. We can fix it up.
And you know their excuse for wearing the sweater and the hoodie, right?
Yeah.
Because they ain't iron.
Yeah, but that was my excuse, too. I-50.
Teach them how to iron then. You go take them there and teach them how
yes,
to iron.
Yes, 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 yes. It's the empathy that drives it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Let's go to the next caller. Caller, you there? Oh, hold on, caller. We come in. Caller, you there?
Yes. Good morning, Miss Green.
You are the fourth caller.
Yeah, well, I was in intended, you know, but...
Okay, well, hold on. Stay there. Next caller, hold the line. It could be you. Go on.
Yeah, Miss Green, I was calling to opine on the topic at hand. Mm-hmm. But firstly, let the teacher know that I love her, and we, I, you know, who don't love the teacher side on them? I thank all teachers for jump-starting my brain and all the others, because I'm proud of the level of reading. My little daughter was reading a synopsis of 1984 George Orwell. I couldn't believe it. She's reading just as good as me. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And she goes to yell at the primary, so I don't know what they're doing there, but I'd like to thank all of them. Yeah, so, you know, as it relates to the discipline, maybe they should stop teaching Rapunzel. You remember the story about Rapunzel? Now, the hair doesn't have to be as long as Rapunzel. My four-year-old has very long hair, Afrocentric. My daughter has the Afro kinky hair, and so she was saying, the children was always telling her hair is not real, and the people pay attention to hair. I find it somewhat to be a distraction. The teacher is correct about that.
Mm-hmm.
But as it relates to putting the shirt in the pocket, of course, having the belt loose, it's gross, it's uncalled for. I don't know what that means, but I see females even wearing the pants with the zip unchecked or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But for me, putting the shirt in the pants is colonial-minded. I was very uncomfortable with it. Sheila Strawn, she's now deceased. That's the mother of Cyprian Strawn. She was my English language teacher. Mm-hmm. She always used to call me and give me detention for that. For some reason, I was uncomfortable with putting my shirt in my pants. I don't know if that's a form to feminize men and show shape. I'm not down with it as a Rasta man eventually. But what I'm saying is, you can see the style of hair that I wear. My hair doesn't comb at all. My locks is about maybe by my heart or something like that now. But I don't conform. You know, it's my choice. I wash it. I keep it clean, et cetera, et cetera. I went to a restaurant with my oldest daughter the other day on my birthday, and I put on my tam because I don't want to offend other people. You understand me?
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't get in the way of the food, et cetera, et cetera. But we must change our brains from the colonial stain. But I know, yeah, as a Rastaman, I did the research. I think the Syrians would have been maybe the first people they introduced the comb, they say about 8,000 years ago. Now, the Egyptians started maybe 5,500 BC. But the reason why they invented the fine comb or the boom wood, and bone or wood, et cetera, was to remove lice. It was not intended to show off, et cetera. But it's all conformity. If a person, you know, I don't say a young man shouldn't comb his hair, but if he's wearing locks, it should be kept. It shouldn't be unkempt, et cetera, et cetera. Everything is about standard, like the teacher's saying, but I think it's all putting your shirt and pants to go in court. That has nothing to do with justice. It's all European-centric. You know, it sickens me, the level of conformity. And so even as it relates to, let's say my son going here, why can't he just put something over it? I mean, this is a new world now. People are thinking. I don't think hair should be an impediment. Also with the young ladies, as it relates to graduation, they're graduating. And so what's in their head is in their head by now. So I don't think, you know... they should be ostracized in such a way like that. They are young females, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I just thought this conversation really shouldn't be hard, you know.
I hear you. Thank you. Blessings. Thank you very much. Thank you guys for sharing your personal stories. Good morning, caller.
My name is Green. How are you doing this morning?
First of all, use the fourth caller.
Thanks.
Before you hang up the phone, I need you for the producer, and he will take your name and information.
Okay.
All right. Go on.
I do not agree with the controlling children and the grooming of the hair part of it.
Okay.
When it comes to grooming of the uniform story.
Okay.
Me and my colleague went into a government business establishment yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Just how we walk in the door, we were greeted by a young lady sitting at a desk. And we couldn't pay attention to anything what she was saying because she has these balls in her tongue, three of them, and then her ears as pairs come straight around almost in a semicircle with earrings.
Mm-hmm.
And the tattoos are everywhere. Now, keep in mind, this is a government place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, when did the standard change? And then she has this big purple and blonde hair style in her hair. And I look at my colleague and I was asking her, when did the standard change? One time ago, tattoos, you had to wear them, couldn't show them in your uniform. You had to put them in a certain place where when you're dealing with clients or customers, they're not exposed.
Yeah, front-facing
When did
job.
We start piercing our eyebrows and piercing our tongue and going to work with them things exposed? Where did the standard change? So when teachers and principals them are now trying to enforce the standard, I could understand why they're trying to enforce it now, because it's getting out of hand and it's getting worse when they come into the job market.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So even though I may not agree with it, because my son, he never cut his hair. He had his hair from he was baby to even when he graduated grade 12.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to government school, but I had it groomed where it was covered at all times.
Mm-hmm. So you wore like a turban?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I took him to the camp and got him his pass to have it like that because I didn't want my son cut his hair. He's a fair-skinned child, and mm-hmm. low haircut just don't suit him at all.
I got you.
So I made him groom it, and even though he's worked now, he's an adult now, he still grooms it the way I made him groom it underneath the turban.
Mm-hmm.
But now the young ladies, then when they walk inside somewhere and he sees their hair like that, he'd be like, Mommy, what happened to their hair?
Yeah.
And it started from schools. They did what they wanted to do. You couldn't tell them anything, and now they're in the work environment, and they're doing whatever they feel like doing. And it goes for the male adults as well. It goes with the tattoo, the piercing, the hairstyle, and then they dress whatever they feel like dressing because you couldn't correct them while they were minors. You can't tell them nothing while they're adults.
So let me ask you a question, and then I got to go to the next caller. Am I getting it wrong, right? Man, the next caller, why you disappear? Anyway, am I getting it wrong, right? Like, should I acknowledge? Oh, caller, you got called back? Producer, let's see if she's there. Good. Let's see if that's her.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, yeah, don't go nowhere because you got to give your information to the producer.
Okay, that's no problem.
Am I getting it wrong, right? Like, there's a link between the non-adherence to the standard and the proliferation of young men sagging their pants.
I don't think the sagging the pants part has anything to do with it. I think they're miseducated on what the sagging pants definition is.
What it means, what it signals. Okay.
Yes.
Because I can say, listen, that one there concerns me greatly.
If they were taught what it is in school and had whom,
they wouldn't do it.
My son wouldn't dare. Now, keep in mind, he has his locks.
Mm-hmm.
But he would not dare have his pants sagging. Because what I do to him and his friends when I used to see them doing it when they were younger, I walk up on them and I pull their pants down. You want to have it halfway down? No, it's either up or down.
Yeah, one or the other. The power either on or off. Don't play with me.
Exactly. It ain't listen. Either or. Either you're straight or you're bending.
Listen, thank you very much. Thank you very, very much.
No problem.
Absolutely. Right? There you go. She's held the line. So we got our call winner and we have our text winner as well. We got the 9th text. Let me go to I'll tell you what the text is. The text is, my boys can wear their hair any way they want at school and they're doing very well. These other schools worrying about the wrong thing. Producer, can I go to another caller? Okay, be careful. Okay, here we go. Good morning, caller.
Yes, hi. How you doing,
Sarah? Good, thank you. How you doing?
Yeah, I just wanted to call you on the data center information.
Oh, you listen to him?
Yeah, okay. Now, what happens is, like, there's easily maybe 20 different type of data centers,
mm-hmm.
ranging from a personal IT network closet to a server room, micro data centers, everything. All of those there reach under, like, I think up until you reach scale,
mm-hmm.
that you'll be under, that's when you begin to reach 50% of our consumption. But I'd say a regional co-location that he speak of will probably be around 20 megawatts. The problem is that the water consumption is, like you're correcting that, but the data centers that he speaks of,
mm-hmm.
we are not prepared for that, at least on New Providence. And at best, you could bring Grand Bahama under control with the exception of the water system unless you go to alternative cooling.
Okay.
The problem with that is that in November of 2025,
mm-hmm.
October, November, the government of the Bahamas rejected the opportunity to bring in legislation that would bring about the sovereignty that he's speaking about.
Okay.
You only need to go back and watch the entire debate on the data protection, bill. So
okay.
You're correct when we Google and talk about these things. You know, just from a topical surface type thing and not understanding the infrastructure and exactly what it means, even the expertise and what it means for us. So to be part of a regional type thing, you first must get your home in order because mm-hmm. the regional doesn't put you in place. It's kind of like saying we're all going to buy a bus together or maybe one of us going to buy a bus. But if you don't have the money for the ticket or anything of that stuff, you will not be getting on that bus.
I like that so much because I thought you was going to say we all go buy a bus to share between islands as opposed to buying a boat.
No, right. But what happens is, the thing about it is, right, you have to understand the 10th, just let me say that, the 10th largest data center in the world, which is the NAV Centers of America, was once considered the Bahamas as a location. We failed to lock that in.
Mm-hmm.
And from the time I came back 20, almost 25 years ago, knowing that, understanding that potential, I've been advocating from day one. Today would make 23 and a half years of establishing ourselves as the place for data. Just imagine the 10th largest data center in the world.
Could have been in the Bahamas.
Was considering, believe it or not, Grand Bahama, Cat Island, and I think Eleuthera as mm-hmm. the location. And to date, we have not comprehensively moved into that sphere. We have some smaller data centers for Cable Bahamas and other mm-hmm. places around. But to actually tap the potential, just as a, remember now, the Bahamas is considered the most digitally prepared country in the world for data and technology. And Grand Bahama is treated as a country, will be the second most digitally prepared country in the world. The key there is preparedness is not utilization.
Boy, look here. Leadership has to understand it. See, Alan, you know what we really need to talk about? Why Grand Bahama won't be an independent country?
No, it is, but... Do you see where Bahama Rock, another day, right?
Yeah,
I call you maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
Bahama Rock is coming. We are going to move. If we don't get what we want, we are going to move for severance for the whole plateau. So
what?
Grand Bahama and Abaco.
What? No, man. And y'all play pokey? See, Alan.
I can send you the concept paper where we are prepared to invest up to $6 billion to sever ourselves from Grand Bahama. I mean, from the Bahamas.
What? Okay. Wow. Let's go to the next caller. I was only joking. See, Alan, I was only joking. And go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Mr. Green. How you doing?
Hi, good, man. How you do?
Wait a minute. Tell see, Alan, to me, right? We ain't want no, but no data center. We ain't want no. We need him to contribute all this green power. On what them Powerball numbers is for the night is 1 billion.
Oh.
Send them numbers.
Yeah, you know what?
Green power for good.
You're absolutely right. That's what Corinne Mitchell tell me. When you're smart.
You green power, you got there and all that knowledge. To figure out them six numbers. We ain't know but no data center.
I mean, that's not quite what she said, but what she said...
We're trying to get off the foundation.
That means she did say that too. But she said when you're powerful, when you're smart, use your powers for good. Because when you're smart, you're powerful. A texter says, I went to pay a traffic ticket, and because I was wearing sandals, they said I could not come into the court. This is so crazy. I never went back. You ain't never going to pay the fine? Also, when you go to pay contributions to NIB, they won't allow you to park in a lot that they say is designated for employees. The lot has about 3 cars and all the vacant spots. I think we need to revisit some of this craziness. Yes, we definitely don't center the citizens in citizen services. However, though, I just want you to know me that you went to pay a traffic ticket and they wouldn't let you into the court because you were sandals, not in Minky Isaac's internet. Not on Minky Isaac's internet. No, sir. How that could happen? You hear what I'm not saying? It just, here's a text. Sagging the pants sickens me at 62. I know what it means. Some of them are showing off their derrieres way too much. Their bottoms, that's the word we use. Their bottoms. Yeah, it emanates, it's a signal. It is a signal, and it's something that you don't want to signal unless you know what the signal means. Just a correction to a previous caller that the former educator he referenced, Mrs. Sheila Strawn, is not deceased. She just celebrated a birthday a few weeks ago, 90-plus years old, I think 95. Well, Mrs. Sheila Strawn, I am sorry. I'm sorry that happened on my show. But I can tell you what the problem is. You did not invite us for birthday cake. That's why we didn't know. My apologies and happy, happy belated birthday. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Yes, Ms. Green, I called to apologize. I didn't know she was living. She knows me very well. She was the best thing. I would like to. I spoke to Oakwood Cyprian. I saw Jonathan a couple of years ago in the mall, but I thought that. But she was always, you know, she's blessed, obviously, because she was a true educator and she was always a sincere person. Very humorous and very serious about her job. So I'm glad to know that she's living. I wouldn't like to call her age, but I know God has to be with somebody who has seen that amount of years.
Yeah.
She's probably as old as my grandma, et cetera. But I'm glad to know. I'm smiling right now, as a matter of fact. But I won't call my name on the radio, but Cyprian and Jonathan can tell who I am.
There you
Give
go.
Thanks.
Blessings.
Yeah.
Good morning, Bahamas. They should have a cosmetology class on campus with a barber. High school cosmetology classes allow students to earn credit towards a professional beauty license while they're still in high school. Yes, this is what I'm saying. And if you see what the students producing, what they display at the Agribusiness Expo, it's fabulous. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Hey, how you doing, Ms. Green? You all right?
No, I'm mad. You know why? But I can tell you just very quickly so you could go on. I really wanted to talk about this letter to the editor, Uncomfortable Talk Over Women in Leadership. And I really wanted to say the only thing uncomfortable about this talk about women in leadership is how this writer is just trying to tippy-toe his way out of being a misogynist and sexist. Listen, everybody at BPL need to resign. Not because they are women. And political interference has been the biggest problem with BEC and energy generation in this country for forever. It's not just because women are there now. And it's not just because women do everything better than men. Letter writer, I know your name on here, but I'm not trying to make it a personal attack. But this right here, miss us with this disingenuous foolishness. If you want to say that you don't think women could lead, just say it. Stop playing in our faces. I want JoBeth Colby to pick up her Georgie bundle and go someplace where it'll flourish. Not the Bahamian government, not the Ministry of Energy, not the Ministry of Aviation. She need to go into private sector work and stay away from governance. Yes, I do. But not because she's a woman and not because there's something about her being a woman that has tarnished her leadership. The whole political culture is frowsy. And as frowsy as the ideas that you trying to play around with, if you're going to be a misogynist, be bold and be a misogynist. Sorry about that. You say what you want to say now.
Yeah, no problem. Say what you got to say. You know what I mean? Don't beat around the bush. Just be straight up and say what you got to say and defend your stance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's good you're angry, Miss Green. You know what I mean? We all need to get angry. When you get angry, you only want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Anger can be a very, very, very essential thing sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I'm glad to hear this talk about the data centers, Miss Green, and I'm glad to hear how you putting forward the thought about them to the public. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And making them aware of the real dangers that they possess. You know what I mean? But I saw recently that they didn't even have to build them like that in the first place, that they could have built them in a way where they could have used some type of circulating water system that could have cooled them. Some man been making them for years and years and years. He's been saying that the way they're making it now is because they're trying to rush and do it in the cheapest possible way and stuff like that, right?
Because it's a rush to
but
be the first.
I said I wanted to say, C. Allen said something, right? And I wanted C. Allen, if you have time, it's great, and he could call back. He made a statement, he said that the Bahamas is the most digitally prepared nation in the world. Something like that, he said, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like him to give us an idea of exactly what he means by that, because us being the most digitally prepared nation in the world, this is hard to believe. I mean, I know that we are supposed to have been the first nation to introduce a CBDC, a central bank digital currency. I mean, if you mean on that level, that's I can understand that, right?
Listen,
the whole thing about the data centers, Ms. Green, is that you need to understand the purpose of them. What are they for?
I got you. No. Listen, right? All out of time. The producer can start playing. They're gonna start playing the music.
All right, I summed up right now quickly. The day about the AI, and the thing about it is that some big AI generator in court right now, trying to fight the court to allow him to have his AI discriminate against black people. So I want you all to think about that. Yeah, don't support your own destruction. Thank you for the time, Ms. Green.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm glad I gave it to you because we're gonna expand on that. And yes, the invitation is open. C. Allen, right? What do you mean that we are the most digitally prepared nation, right? If the people, anyway, I want you to juxtapose this question to the fact that people are likening, I don't know, the people talking about the privatization of BEC without talking about the privatization of BEC, and they're drawing comparisons to the attempt to sell BTC before Ingram sold it. So juxtaposed to that, I know you know what I'm talking about, C. Allen. I want you to come, we can do a show, why is the Bahamas the most digitally prepared? Text, the important thing for students to learn is everything has a consequence. You can wear your puff, your dreadlocks, your plaits, and you can win the social media popularity contest. But when real life hits you, you'll be judged. Okay, thank you, Texas. I'm glad I read that. And I think we're getting it wrong. You got it right. They need to learn that everything has consequences. And then they can learn about respectability politics and how they can protect themselves from it, how they could navigate a world that is not perfect. Right? I like that. Anyway, we all out of time. Ninth texter, fourth caller, thank you for playing. We're going to put your name in the box today. Get to The Guardian. Today is the last day. The Great Summer Escape Giveaway, drawing August 14th. Deadline today. Thank you, producer. I'm out of here. C.A. Newry. Guardian Radio AM is up next.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Orthopedics, where movement becomes medicine and treatments become triumphs. At Cleveland Clinic, it's more than just repairing what's broken. It's how we put ourselves back together to reconstruct, rehabilitate, and restore the things that give us life. The future of orthopedics is already in motion. For every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic.
As the summer days wind down, a new school year begins. Grab your checklist and head on over to Kelly's House and Home for their 20% off back to school sale, except on net items, now through September 2nd. They have everything you need, like Toto, JanSport, and character backpacks, lunch boxes, composition books, pens, pencils, calculators, and more. Spend $50 or more on school supplies and you could win one of two gift baskets, bicycles, a laptop computer, or a Crayola-filled stocking. Catch Kelly's House and Home's back-to-school sale now through Tuesday, September 2nd.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.